the fall of commercial Babylon.
Tonight we're at this great, wonderful, gigantic chapter 18, the book of the Revelation, chapter 18. And you do know that for the past 2 weeks, as we went down carefully through chapter 17, that we were looking at the doom of mystical Babylon. We went very carefully into chapter 17, and we found that this great whore, this scarlet woman, that she was indeed mystical Babylon. This abominable, idolatrous, pagan, popish system that's all around us tonight and seems to be gaining momentum with every moment. My, we were looking at that horrible, diabolical, idolatrous system for the last 2 weeks. And we called that mystical Babylon. You remember that I took you way back to the early chapters of the book of Genesis, and we had a look at literal Babylon when she was founded, and we saw some of the deeds and doings of literal Babylon. Now, we are coming from literal Babylon down past mystical Babylon, and we are coming into commercial Babylon this evening. It will shock some of us in this meeting to think that the very same idolatrous, superstitious practices that is abounding in papal Rome tonight has entered into some of the great syndicates with their takeover bids in this very land of ours at the very present moment. And so it's a mighty chapter. It wants to be handled very carefully. I've called it the fall of commercial Babylon. And as we go down through the chapter, you will find there are four views. You find the angelic view. The angels are looking on. And the angels from their standpoint in the heavens have a very particular view of the fall of commercial Babylon as she falls. And then there's a very precious portion in the chapter. It's the divine view, just exactly how God looks at this commercial, satanic, diabolical system that's working very fast tonight. And we have the divine view of commercial Babylon even before she falls. And then something that will make us sit up and take notice: the merchant's view of commercial Babylon after she falls. Because all the merchants that were involved and tied up and held by this horrible system, why, they stand afar off and they gaze and they weep and they wail when this system falls. And then the chapter ends with the apostolical view, or the apostles' view, of commercial Babylon when she falls. The chapter is divided very neatly into four standpoints, perspectives. It's just like the four Gospels looking at the life of Christ. Four different standpoints here, gazing at the fall of commercial Babylon. Now, we're at verse 1, and we'll treat it carefully. Chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with His glory. I don't think we'll take time to go into the work of the angel this evening. I'm preparing a study just now on the angels, and it's a tremendous one, because we have found out so much about the angels in the book of Revelation that I think it needs a special night on its own. You remember in one of the chapters we had the angel who had charge of the waters. And then in another chapter we had the angel who had power over the fire. And we are finding out day by day from this old book that the angels are just special messengers from heaven. And they've all got a special job to do. And somehow or other, this angel had a lot to do with the commerce of this world. But we'll not go into his job this evening. Verse 2 says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen." And then he repeats this, "is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold," or the Greek word here would be better translated, "and the stronghold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." You know, as we move into the subject this evening, and notice that this satanic, diabolical papal system seems to get its fangs down into almost every department of commerce. We shall find that in the upper boards of commerce, that the demons have come to roost, that commercial Babylon has become the dwelling place of demons. In fact, it has become the stronghold of every foul spirit. And indeed, we shall find in that cage this evening every unclean bird. And so the angel was having a good view of the thing, could see it very clearly. And then the angel went on, verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And you can see that all nations are mentioned here. There is not one little island of the world that this diabolical system hasn't got its finger on in some shape or form, either ecclesiastically or commercially. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." And then we come to the crux of the matter, "and the merchants of the earth." My, that's a tremendous phrase, and we must not miss it. The merchants of the earth. Just right there before you. My, these fellows too are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So we're finding out that literal Babylon that became political Babylon and is tonight ecclesiastical Babylon, the papal church, has got her fangs down into commerce. And she's commercial Babylon this evening too. "And the merchants of the earth." The merchants of the earth. My, they're waxing rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So you only need to note those things. We don't need to wait and expound them. You only need to note them, because this is the angelic view of commercial Babylon. And then we come to this divine view. Verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, And of course, when the voice calls my people, this is God talking. You know, I actually believe that the true interpretation of verse 4 waits for a day to come. You see, when the great tribulation takes place and the Antichrist arises and men cannot buy or sell except they've got the mark of the beast, some of the witnesses of God may fail here. And just because they need this, that, or the other, they get mixed up. And God says, come out of her, my people. And of course we shall find that we're on the borderline of this tribulation that's coming. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord tonight. And sometimes these periods overlap a little bit. And you know, there's a danger that even some of us might get mixed up in this thing. And in that sense, it's applicable to us. Come out of her, my people. Because if we don't get out, well, we shall be partakers of her sins. And that ye receive not of her plagues. And so this is God saying, come out. Now, here's what God views. This is his vision. Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven. You know, God is measuring here the mountain of her sins. And let's get this figure tonight. It's a tremendous one. It hath reached unto heaven. Oh, I tell you what a weight and load is here. It's the mountain, it's the measure of the mountain of her sins. God sees her sins. And God hath remembered her iniquities. Yes, he measures the mountain of her sins, and he mocks and remembers her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. You know, God watches her wickedness. He has noticed and he has taken note. And again we have it before us here. How God has marked down that she was drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And he watches every movement of the wickedness of this diabolical system, even when it's coming from commerce against God's people. But we're only laying the foundation, remember. We'll get into it in a moment. Yes, you can see that God measures the mountain of her sin, marks and remembers her iniquity, and God watches her wickedness. And then at the end of verse 7 it says, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. At the beginning of verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. And then at the end of verse 7, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. You see, God sees her sins. God sees her selfishness. And God sees her supposed sovereignty. And you know, we want to be very careful that we don't get mixed up in some board that only thinks of itself and wants to rule sovereign over everybody. Because if we do, we'll be sinners. God has his eye on this, you know. God can see this. And so I hope you can see what the angel saw. Hope you can see that demons have come to roost here. They dwell. They have made commercial Babylon their habitation. I hope you can see that it's a stronghold of every foul spirit. And I hope you remember that it's a cage of unclean birds. And I hope you see now that God sees her sin and her selfishness and her sovereignty, her supposed sovereignty. And then we come to the real vision of the chapter. Yes, verse 8, we must finish. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Yes, you see, God has a day and an hour and a moment appointed when he will judge evil and commercial Babylon. And now we come to this great part of the chapter that I'm hurrying to and I want you to get. Verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth, there it is again, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. God's going to finish this. Now we come to look at the merchandise. Now just have a look at it. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls. And we'll make a stop there. You see, this is financial power, isn't it? And you know, we have some tremendous syndicates this evening on the broad acres of our earth. And they hold much of the world's gold, most of its silver, and everything that goes for financial power, hold it in their hands. Think it would be right for me to say that of all the banks that we have in Britain, while we have quite a score of names, you know, they're owned by 5 leading banking companies. And I think it would be true for me to say that in the not too far distant future, they will be all owned by 4. Because there is a movement at the present moment for one of these big banking companies to take over one of the other big banking companies. And these are holding. Aye, and because they hold, they're able to move and to strangle at times others who just haven't got as much. And what I want you to see, that away on the upper boards of commerce, we're not looking at a post office in the back street now. We're looking at the upper boards of commerce. The same old subtlety. The same old diabolical acts. The same old abominations that we find in ecclesiastical Babylon. They're at work. Let it shock you. Just let it shock you, that's all. They're at work. Man, that has crept in there. So the very same diabolical subtlety that's in ecclesiastical Babylon that we hit with our very souls, you find it in the upper boards. Do you think I'm talking through my hat? You want to go and read about Lord Mancroft and the Norwich Union last week or the week before? Yes. There are a lot of big fellas away on the top shelf, aren't they? Yes, and the Arabs can creep in. And they can so dictate the terms that even this Lord Mancroft, who has spent his life in the Norwich Union, is tossed out like that. If this is not diabolical wickedness, if there are not unclean words in the Norwich Union, come and tell me. Just come and tell me. That's all. And God sees the sin. And God sees the selfishness. And God sees the supposed sovereignty And the whole thing is commercial Babylon staring us at the face. And it's there, all right, you know. There, all right. Just there. But watch what it does say about these merchants. It doesn't only talk, you know, about the financial side of affairs. It says, verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls. That's one section. So what's the next one? And fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all time wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron marble. Oh, here's another section, isn't it? Yes, this is the industries, isn't it? So many of them. We've got the linen industry here, and we've got the timber trade, and we've got the brass and iron, marble. Oh, how much we've got. We've got quite a lot of industries. You know, it's wonderful that God put all this in his book, isn't it? I suppose you never stopped to have a look at it before, but it's here now. And I didn't print it, remember. It's here for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And we're only beginning to see that the merchants... Oh, I tell you, there are so many boards across the country. And they're sitting at times, and they're strangling the poor. First, then, we can take examples all round. Supposing I just stepped in and took the coal board. Yes, they just put their heads together. Now, I'm not talking about the man who brings the coal. I'm not talking even about the wholesaler who gives them it. I'm talking about the board right on the top shelf. You know, they sit and put their heads together, these millionaires. For to get as much out of a miner as they can, for as little as they can. And then they want to turn around on the other hand and sell it for as much as they can. To the poor fellow they have already crippled with a financial board. I tell you, it's Babylon! Oh, I know that I'll not be a popular fellow when this is ended. I'm not worried. I'm just an expositor of God's word, that's all. I'm telling you, God will deal with us! And God's determined to deal with it. We've got so many boards in the country that the poor man is camped, battered, and get his head up. They're all right. There's industry before you. Have a look at this one. See verse 13. And cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine and oil, and we'll make a halt there. You see, I think this is the medicinal power. I'm not talking about doctors now. You know, we praise God for them. And remember, when I talk about the medicinal power, I'm not talking about our health service. Thank God for it. We thank God every day we live for the health service we have. I know that we try to put it over to other countries that we've got a free health service. We have nothing of the sort to begin with. I think if I know the price of the stamp between you and the employer, you're all paying somewhere over £1 a week. And that's £52 a year for every working man. And if there were only 1 million of you, that's 52 million. And I think there's about 30 million of you, and that's exactly 1,500 millions. So it's not so free as you thought it was, did you? But what I'm going to say is this. I don't mind paying this. I'm gladly doing it. Thank God for the health service. But where is the big whack of this going? not to the doctors. It's going to the fellows that make the drugs. These big syndicates that sit and plan and make drugs, and they're putting them onto the markets by the millions. You can get tablets now to make you sunburnt. You can get tablets to keep you from getting sunburnt. You can get tablets for headache, backache, bellyache, or everything else. I'll get mixed up with this before I go very far. It's all tablets, isn't it? Of course, they got out of the thalidomide tablet very quickly, didn't they? I want you to get your ears caught. It was a certain German drug firm that threw it onto the world. And out of it, they made millions. And left our world with little children without arms and legs. They left kids for the next 50 years in misery. And if the devil's not on that, you just come and educate me. And if this isn't unclean and foul and sinful and diabolical, these are the boys away at the top of the tree who are pulling in from the health service. The men that make the drugs, I tell you, it's Babylon. And God will deal with it. God will deal with it. Right here before us, my God was very careful how he went down this page. Very careful. I think you can see the financial power departing and the commercial and the medicinal. Now watch this one. We're in the middle of verse 13. And fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses. Surely we're at the agricultural now, aren't we? We'll have to be very careful because we've got members of the egg board and we've got members of the milk board and God knows what board we haven't with us tonight. I'll tell you that I'll not have a friend in the world left when this is finished. But friend or not, I've got to go on with it. I'm telling you, you men know, that men don't put their heads together to help the fellow they're selling it to. Not at all. If it's examined to the last degree, I tell you, friend, there's gain in this thing. And we've got to be careful. I believe that there are honest men in every board. I'm positively sure of that. And I'm positively sure that in many of our farmers' unions we've got honest men. But I know that this subtle, diabolical, let me say it again, Babylonish system has crept in. And God will judge it. God will judge it. Every department is mentioned here. It's in the book and it's there. And it's at work tonight. I think there's a little bit here that we must see. See verse 13? We've got the medicinal in the cinnamon and odors, anointments and so on. We've got the agricultural in the beasts and sheep and so on. Now when we come to the chariots, I think we've got war here. And you know, I was handed a book by the doctor just a few weeks ago. It's called 60 Days That Shook Europe. It was the time when Hitler came into France, crushed Belgium and came into France. And I think that it would make you weep to read it. Because the French Parliament, with their field marshals, got together, some 24 of them, and they were divided into twos and threes and didn't know what to do or what way to turn. And one wanted this and the other wanted that, and they barneyed night in and night out while men were wasted on the front. Oh, yes. There were millions of men out at the front and hadn't got a leader. While men sat and barneyed and let their souls go to hell, and the devil helped them to. I tell you, roosting in all these things, the devil has come home to dwell. And there's every foul spirit. It's a cage of unclean birds, and I hope you're not caught in it. Come out of her, my people. My dear friends, there's far more in this chapter than we'll be able to chew this evening. But watch this. Do you see this? This is the end of chapter 13. It's talking about the merchandise of all these things. And then it talks about the merchandise and slaves and sold of men. Well, that's what Rome trades in. Rome, pagan, popish Rome, trades in the souls of men. That's what she trades in. She loves all the slaves. You've got to cringe down low at the feet of a priest who's as sinful as yourself and beg for pardon. God pity us. And then we're going back to Rome. There's a book published yesterday in Dublin, Roman Catholic Priest is its author. And the title of the book is Pray for Unity. And in the first page, the Archbishop of the Episcopal Church in Ireland commends it. And in the second page, the moderator, the present moderator of the Presbyterian Church commends it. And on the third page, the president of the Methodist Church commends it. For unity! Pray for unity! Why didn't he finish the title? Pray for unity with Rome! That's what we're at. Where they trade in the souls of men. God help us. God teach us. God instruct us. God make us men like men. Time we were, you know. But watch, this doesn't end there. My, look at this verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. You see, these merchants were wailing because all these things were departed. See verse 11. And the merchant of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold is gone. The merchandise of linen and all the rest of it's gone. Aye, and the medicinal's gone. Aye, and the agricultural power is gone. Aye, and the war power. Aye, and the spiritual power so called. Aye, and now it's carnal power. Oh, if you want to know how much money they make out of carnality, you only want to watch a television. And the only thing that pleases the public now is naked women. Go and find out how much Christine Keeler made out of her naked body. Go and find it out. Ah, oh, way in the top story. They're making money out of it. I tell you, it's from the devil. It's commercial. Babylon. They don't take a loss in Hollywood now unless she's prepared to be naked. God will put a stop to it. God will put a stop to it. I tell you, friends, I told you the chapter would shock you. It's a mighty one. And I tell you, every department is brought in. God save us Christians from ever entering into any sort of syndicate that's going to crush a poor soul out of the necessities of life. God help us. Come out of it. You'd be far better without them. You know, I was in the home of a very big businessman the other week, and his wife and my wife went away to make the tea. And I saw a big television sitting in the corner, and I said to him, how much do you get out of that? He said, to tell you the truth, I get very little. He said, you know, I want to say something to you. He said, you know, I bought a lot of shares of that thing. And I've got a lot of shares belonging to the television. The other night the wee lad switched it on. I lay back in the chair and I can see them advertising booze on this. One of the curses of our race. My, they were gurgling it down. And every two or three minutes on it came again. More booze, lager beer. He said, I said to myself, is that the thing that I own? So I said, I went round to the bank in the morning and I said to the manager, see all those shares of Ulster Television? Sell them. Want them anymore? He said, I can tell you this, if I sell them for you today, you'll lose exactly 1,200 quid. Well, he said, sir, I just want to lose it. He was getting out. He was getting out! Did you hear that? He was getting out! He had heard God. Come out! Come out! Says God, come out. Cost some of us something, wouldn't it? My dear friends, in this day and hour in which we live, the true applicable verse to us is, touch not the unclean thing. God wants his people like that, you know. My, this is the horrible thing. This is this old subtle, diabolical, Babylonish, idolatrous system getting into every department of commerce. And you know, some of us who wouldn't touch the Roman Catholic Church with a 40-foot pole, we get mixed up in the same diabolical system in some of the boards. God save us. God save us. Now watch. We'll just read on. We're at verse 16. Saying, alas, alas, that great city. Verse 15. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. You can see it's the same woman, all right. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich. All that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Oh, what a vision they had. And they saw the vision. So you've seen what the angels saw. And you've seen what God saw. And you've seen what the merchants saw. They saw the whole thing blasted. Now have a look at what the apostles saw. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. You see, this pagan, diabolical papal system has been against the forward movement of the Church of Jesus Christ right down the age. Been against. And when it comes to the time of the Great Tribulation, my, for the saints that will be witnesses then, it'll squeeze them, even to death. Well, they'll not be able to buy nor sell. But now the holy apostles and prophets, and as we shall see the saints in a moment, my, they're going to rejoice over her. Verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Might will happen suddenly, won't it? Now where do you see the completeness of the destruction? And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants, get it, were the great men of the earth. Watch this wee bit. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. If the devil's not in that, you come and tell me. May I tell you, friends, on the upper shelf of commerce tonight, the old devil's working. You see, if you were coming to tighten me up, I should tell you this, that the devil is the god of this world. The god of this world system. And all these super syndicates that seem to gather so much in and squeeze everybody that's not in. God's watching. God's watching. I tell you, friends, God will blast the system. You know, what a day it will be and what a relief it will be when Jesus will come back to reign. And he'll put out the super systems, syndicates. My, what a day we'll have when Jesus reigns. My, the poor will be blessed. The Lord will bless them. You know, there's nothing that touches my heart like knowing some old man who has worked for 50 years, or maybe 60 years, given his life to a firm. Possibly through his consistency, he has made thousands for the firm. And then when he's old and dumb, they pick him onto the stick. Give him £3 there and let him go. Or they pitch him onto the society while these fellas sit in the clouds holding onto the money. Do you think God loves this? You must think we have got a funny God. God will blast it, I tell you. God will blast it. And I tell you, friends, when he blasts it, there'll be a great voice in heaven. Just wait till you see. Watch this. It says, in the last verse of our chapter, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Yes, all the martyrs and all that were slain. Now watch the first verse, and I'll not steal much from chapter 19. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Just the Greek word for the Hebrew word hallelujah. You know, friend, if I'm in heaven, and I know I'll be in heaven, when this mystical Babylon, the whore of chapter 17 is being burned, and when all this social unfairness is being cursed and crushed, I'll shout hallelujah. Top of my voice. And if I'll do it then, I'll do it now. Hallelujah. Brethren and sisters, may God never let one of our children put their foot in through the pagan door of mystical Babylon. And may you businessmen never get tied up with commercial Babylon. May you be big enough to stand up all the time and everywhere for what's right and fair and honest. God will bless you.